And good afternoon. This is Don Fulda, and my freak handle I've been using as of late is the very unoriginal DF99, which are just my initials with a convenient two digits. So if you see me on BinRev, which I tend to hang out on, that's generally what I'm known as if you happen to spot some postings regarding Project MF. I've been pretty much a one-trick pony with this Project MF deal, and it's sort of my contribution to the old-school hacking community. So I'm very, very pleased to be here this afternoon to be able to talk about my implementation of Project MF, which I've had publicly available for about 3 years now, pretty much 24/7, with really almost no downtime, and it gets a fairly heavy usage. I'd say I get about 15, 20 calls a day on it with people freaking around. So. Very gratifying to have done that and make it available to the freaking community, and I am very grateful for the people who did some of the pioneering work to make it all possible. So I'd like to, hopefully I won't run over, so I'm going to ask the moderator to try to keep me honest here. I've got quite a bit I'd like to accomplish, and if I'm encroaching on time, please let me know, and I'll just end the discussion as quickly as possible. Just to give a little personal background about myself, I'm a phone freak from the classic phone freak days, I guess, back in the late 60s and early 70s, so I'm probably a bit older than most people here. My involvement with phone freaking started out in 1968 when I found an old Princess telephone in a junk shop, and somebody told me that I could wire it up to my home phone, even though the front of the telephone book told me I wasn't supposed to do that. So I brought it home and kind of squinted at that little black box in the basement and figured out that you just needed two wires to hook it up. And I had a knock on the door from the phone company who told me to turn it off, and then another guy who was in the know told me, well, you got to disconnect that bell so the phone company won't know it's there. So that really piqued my interest, that there were things that could be done to manipulate the phone company's knowledge of what was being done with their lines and equipment. So that sort of got started a very latent kind of interest in the telephone system that really didn't get reawakened until a lot later when I was in college as a liberal arts major. And I was down in the student union, and I saw a guy with a little box walk up to a phone, and this box started playing kind of funny tones. So I went over and asked him what it was, and he explained it's a blue box, and he proceeded to make some calls to Vietnam to his brother, who happened to be over there at the time, which I found absolutely amazing. So I asked him about it, but he didn't give me much technical information. But again, that kind of planted the seed, and then in 1971, when the Esquire article came out that I'm sure most or all of you are familiar with on the phone freak underground and blue boxing in particular, it just really got me really excited. So I went down to the school library and read basically every copy of the Bell System Technical Journal they had there. And about a week later, I changed my major to engineering. So I view phone freaking as being responsible for a 30-year career in telecommunications. So I feel I owe a lot to the community for that, because it's paid my my family's expenses for the last 30 years. And always have been interested in trying to recapture that thrill back in the 70s of using the blue box and making calls. So I was quite active in the time. I built my first box in 1971 out of a couple of 555 timers. And back in the 80s, when I got a little more knowledgeable, I constructed a 68 HC705 microprocessor-based unit that was kind of inspired by the old Hactic Demon Dialer blue box circuit, which I consider the epitome of the art, at least for the time. But back on Project MF, kind of fast forward to the present, it came to my attention that a well-known phone freak, Mark Abeen, also known as Fiber Optic, was giving a presentation at the HOPE6 conference in the summer of 2006, and the subject of his talk was Project MF. And what Mark had done, which I found quite amazing, is to take the asterisk free PBX software system that I'm sure all of us are familiar with on the conference, and apply a series of patches that allowed the lines to respond to the old 2600 hertz supervisory tones and also respond to the multi-frequency tones for dialing. And basically it allowed, in a totally private system, a person the ability to blue box calls. And Mark demoed this system and his modifications at HOPE6. He also kicked off the www.projectmf.com discussion board, and He's had a that, that's still up there, although Mark has kind of dropped below the radar the last couple of years, and it doesn't get a lot of activity. But he put that up to spark some technical discussion about how to implement his patches. Surprisingly, because of the complexity of applying the patches and getting the system up and running, very few people actually have accomplished it, to my knowledge. And to my awareness, nobody has actually put up a publicly accessible system. So my goal was to try to make this available, reliable, simple to use, to simulate as much as possible the sound of the old network, and to give a person dialing into it with a blue box or with a blue box program the experience of actually blue boxing as it would have been back in the, even in the 60s, but through the 70s and throughout the 80s and maybe a little bit in the early 90s, although there'd be probably be some argument about whether blue boxing is still possible today. So that was sort of my design goals for it. So what I did is I took Mark's original set of patches, and I doctored them up a bit and wrote some additional code to try to make it sound a little more realistic. I added a fairly authentic sounding wink tone to it. I increased the reliability of the MF detectors so that the person placing calls today had a pretty good chance of success using almost anything that could generate the required tones. So I do have this. What I also did last year is set up a website dedicated to the project. It's similar to Mark's URL. It's www.projectmf.org. O-R-G. So it's, again, almost very similar. And I put a lot of details about the Project MF system and about construction details for a blue box, which I'll talk about a little bit later in my presentation. So a person can dial in on the DID number, which is 630-485-2995, and they will get connected into a voice explanation of the system and how it works and how to access it. And it drops you onto a trunk and allows you to blue box if you've got a blue box or a program that's capable of producing the correct tones. Now, on my website, www.projectmf.org, I do have a software, a Windows software blue box that allows you to use the number keypad on a full-size keyboard almost as a real hardware blue box. So for those who don't want to get into constructing it, it's a simple download and a simple install, and that provides a pretty convenient manual blue box to interface into the system. I also have set up the capability for people to connect to the system directly through SIP. There's details of this again on the website, so I won't get into them now, but if you have a SIP or a soft phone, you can directly connect over the internet without going through the PSTN. There's also IAX2, which is the asterisk voice over IP protocol. If you have an asterisk server, you can set it up with a dial plan to access my box directly without going over the PSTN. And again, there are instructions for doing that if you've got a server and want to create a direct link for fooling around with it. All these systems work, I've tested thoroughly and work really well with the system. There's also another cool gateway that I have, and connecting into a system called CNET, or the Collectors Network. And this is a very interesting group of people who collect electromechanical historical switches in their basements. And these people would get the stuff, these old switches that were basically being sold for scrap, and they would reassemble them, clean them up, and actually get them working in their basement. They discovered it was kind of boring because basically they had this huge power-hungry intercom system that really couldn't talk to the rest of the world. So a couple of very smart people discovered how to use asterisk to tandem or to interconnect these switches using voice over IP. And they've come up with a very sophisticated set of DNS lookups and so forth that make it possible to have a private network that lets you dial in directly into these historical old electromechanical switches. Adding my system into this network allows you to actually blue box into a real old step or crossbar 5 or any of a number of other historic switches that are up on this network. And that is a real kick to be able to blue box and get into some of these old systems and actually hear them responding to the tones. So there's quite a bit of connectivity into my Project MF system. The hardware system I'm using itself is actually quite simple. It's an old Weiss thin client diskless workstation that I've modified to use a compact flash to boot Debian asterisk, and I'm running asterisk 1.2 on it. And I've got asterisk patched with the Project MF patches that make all the tone detection possible. Now, the cool and what I think is cool thing about it is to make a call using a blue box, you need a set of trunks that are responsive to the 2600 hertz tone and the multi-frequency tones. Now, the way I'm doing that on Asterisk is I've got two extra Ethernet cards installed in addition to the one that provides network access, and I have a crossover cable connecting the two NIC ports together back-to-back, so they're looped back to each other. Asterisk has a little-known capability of putting a T1 interface up over an Ethernet interface. So what I've done is I've created two trunk groups of 24 channels each, the size of a standard T1 interface. Those are interconnected, so I have one outgoing trunk group of 24 SF MF trunks that go and loop back into the switch. So I'm running a tandem that essentially is both the originating and the terminating side at the same time. And when a call is made using Project MF, it actually loops out selects one of the 24 trunks. And the fact you've got 24 make a lot of kind of cool things possible, because you can do trunk stacking like you'll hear on the Evan Doorbell phone trips tapes. You can pretty much simulate exactly what he demonstrates there by having these additional trunks available. And it is a multi-user system, so you can have many, many people up using the system at the same time. So that's basically the hardware platform that I'm using, and it's with the compact flash rather than hard disk interface on it, it's exceptionally reliable and very low power. I've got battery backup on it and a whole bunch of other things to kind of enhance the reliability. I'm going to stop. Any questions at this point, or before I kind of dive into some of the basics of how it works?
The only thing I'd like to just say is I'd just like to remind everybody to please mute their phones, because, Project MF is very, it can get interrupted very easily. So please mute your phones, and I'll let you continue your talk.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'll let you know when that's strictly necessary. When I started doing the demo, that will be kind of a requirement to have a quiet line. Although from what I can hear, I don't think we're going to have any problems with that. So let me talk a little bit about Blue Box basics, and I apologize to people if this is very well-known stuff, but it's kind of necessary to understand what's going on. So basically the way a blue box works is that it basically simulates the supervision and the digit addressing functions of a telephone system. And the easiest way to understand it is to think about what happens when you've got your own telephone. When you pick up the phone, what happens is a switch closes in the telephone instrument, which completes a circuit into an automated switch, which returns a dial tone to you. That dial tone is your signal to start pressing the buttons, sending DTMF tones into the switch, which then routes your call. That is the local level of telephone access that we all have, the local loop. Now, there's a second level of access. The first level is the wire loop that connects your phone into your neighborhood switch. But the second level is the trunk level access. And trunks are basically telephone lines, special purpose lines that interconnect switches rather than connecting a telephone instrument into the switch, your local switch. And those trunk circuits that interconnect switches are just like your, in some ways, just like your local telephone line. They require supervision. They require an on-hook and off-hook detection or signal to be sent. And they also require digits to be sent, or some form of telephone number addressing, so that digits can be sent from the originating side of the trunk back to the terminating side for routing a call. Now, in the case of your local instrument, you're using DC, or you're using basically a DC signaling path. But on trunk connections, where the distance between the switches that are being interconnected is quite large, it's necessary to sometimes put the connection over transformers or amplifiers. And what an amplifier does when you insert it into a phone line is it breaks that DC connection. You no longer can signal using an open or a closed switch passing current through a wire. So the telephone engineers, realizing this problem, came up with the idea of using a series of tones which will pass through an amplifier, as anyone who's hooked up a stereo knows. It'll also pass through a transformer or any number of different carrier systems that the telephone company might use on their trunk circuits. So the system that the phone company came up with back in the late 40s is to use a 2600 hertz tone as a supervisory signal. So, for example, when your phone, your local phone, is on the hook, no current is flowing. That's an on-hook state. That is indicated on a trunk level by the presence of a 2600 hertz tone on the trunk. That indicates that the trunk is idle and in use. When that tone is removed, that's a signal to the other side, the receiving side of the trunk circuit, that the person has picked up the phone or picked up the trunk. In this case, it's the switch grabbing or seizing the trunk, going off hook. Instead of returning a dial tone, the far end of the trunk will send what is called a wink. It's a momentary on-hook indication. So what it'll do is, when it removes the 2600 hertz to indicate that the line is in use, but then very briefly, the far side will send a little cheep of 2600, and that tells the near side, oh, it's like a dial tone. It says, okay, I can go ahead and send my digits. And the digits being used in the case of the trunk circuit are multi-frequency, or MF digits, which sound in some ways similar to your normal touchtone pad, but actually use a different set of frequencies to transmit the data. So that's sort of the basics of how it works. Now, I thought I would do just a very brief demonstration of what the tones sound like. The 2600 tone that indicates an on-hook state sounds like this. Fairly famous tone. So when the trunk isn't doing anything, that tone is just playing. And when the tone disappears, that means the trunk is in use. Now, after the wink back is sent, the trunk will then send the digits of the call to be dialed. Now, just for comparison, let me play what all the standard touch tones sound like. And you've of course heard these, but I'll play them anyway, just to get them in your head. Hopefully, did Asterisk mute those? I'm curious.
A lot of us using like 5Es and stuff to throw away, so it should be fine.
Okay, so hopefully you heard the tones. Now, the MF tones sound a bit more musical and, to my mind, more pleasant, but let me play the same set of 12 MF tones. And those are your multi-frequency tones. Now, before multi-frequency was used, there was still another method that was used to simulate telephone dialing using a dial using tones. So instead of the dial opening and closing a switch that interrupted DC current running through a phone instrument at the trunk level, to get around that restriction of not being able to pass DC that I talked about before, they actually sent pulses of the 2600 hertz tone that would correspond to the DC pulses on a telephone switch, on a telephone dial, on a local subscriber loop. And in fact, when you were connected into one of these trunks using your telephone dial, your dial was actually generating bursts of 2600 that corresponded to the digit that was dialed. So for example, a zero would sound like this. I'll do that again. And that's the exact rate of a telephone dial, but using 2600 hertz tone. So let me dial a number just to show you what it would sound like. So that was a full 10-digit phone number. Now, that's not as efficient as the MF tone, so that system was quickly replaced by MF. Now, the famous phone freak Joe Ingresia, also known as Joy Bubbles, could actually whistle those tone bursts that I just played. First, I thought Joe, when I first heard about Joe, some of the news articles that were written about him weren't quite accurate about what he could do. They were saying that he could whistle MF tones, and I actually talked to Joe about that. He said, no. That was even beyond me. I couldn't whistle two tones at the same time. But what he could do is he could whistle in the correct cadence and hit the frequency accurately enough that he could actually dial those pulses quite accurately and place free phone calls using it. Now, as I mentioned, I had constructed two different blue box circuits. One was a fairly complicated circuit based on an old Motorola microprocessor. What I wanted to do as part of my Project MF system is to sort of complete the design by making an inexpensive blue box available to people who wanted to play with it. So I went ahead and I designed a blue box that was based on a microchip PIC microprocessor. It's a little 8-pin PIC, a very simple circuit that interfaces a keypad or a set of switches to this little PIC and generates all of the tones needed to make a basic blue box, basically 2600 and the multi-frequency tones. A person who collaborated me with this was a gentleman named Phil Lapsley, who runs a website called thehistoryofphonefreaking.com. And he also spoke at the Last Hope last year and gave a presentation on the history of phone freaking. Well, Phil and I got together, and he took this design that I had put together, and we produced a series of very professional printed circuit boards, and had those produced, tested them out, and debugged them, and Phil passed about 200 of those out at the Last Hope in 2008, so some of you may have actually picked one of those up. They were designed to fit into a little Radio Shack enclosure, and then I had instructions and a parts list up on my site to complete it. I actually do sell the PCBs and the pre-programmed PICs for anybody who's interested in building one of the designs. But it makes a very nice little compact blue box, very tiny, very much like the Esquire article blue box. So again, those were put out at the Last Hope, and there are plans and a contact for asking, inquiring about sales of those on projectmf.org, so I'll get a little plug-in for that. Some of the features on the box that are kind of cool is that it's not like the old blue boxes. It'll actually play both MF and DTMF tones plus the 2600. It has 12 32-digit memories on it, so you can store digit sequences and play those back into the phone for experimentation. So I've actually sold a few hundred of these, so there's a lot of latent phone freaks or ex-phone freaks out there who, just for nostalgia's sake or maybe to play with Project MS, have been quite interested in that project. So what I thought I'd do now, and if there's no questions about what I've talked about, is actually dial into the Project MF server, and I'll try to pre-party it in here, and demo kind of how the system works and talk a little bit about some of the codes I've programmed into it and how that works. Now, I am hearing some road noise or background noise on there, so at this point in the presentation, I would ask everybody who has the capability to try to mute their phone. The MF detectors are quite sensitive, and they'll interpret any extraneous noises as MF digits, so it would be great if people could mute the connection. Any questions at this point about that presentation, that part of the presentation anyway? Okay, what I'll do then, if none, is I'll dial in.
How much is when the circuits?
Sorry?
When the circuit board, how much are, when the circuit?
How much are they? You mean the cost?
Yeah.
The circuit boards I sell for $4 a piece.
$4 a piece.
And
Sorry?
Oh, I'm hearing a pretty severe echo here all of a sudden. Okay, it's gone. Yeah, I sell the circuit boards for $4 a piece, and the pre-programmed PICs, along with a little 20 megahertz resonator. It's basically a crystal that sets the frequency standard for it. I sell those as a pair for $4 also. And
okay.
$3, I think, for mailing or something like that. So. Do have a stack of them left, and I'm not sure what will happen when they're gone, but I've got quite a few kicking around yet. So for those interested, that's roughly what it would cost. I think to build the box, it would be probably another $20 of parts from DigiKey or a local electronics supplier. They're all very common parts other than the board and the PIC itself. Any other questions? Okay, I'm going to jump off here and dial into the server, and I'll three-party it in. You'll hear me giving basically an explanation of what you would hear when dialing in. I'll probably jump out of that, and it'll go directly into a trunk that presents a ringback, a ringing sound. The way you would make a blue box call typically is to dial an 800 number, and while it was ringing, you would hold the blue box up to the mouthpiece and play the 2600 hertz tone to seize the trunk. And I will demonstrate doing that. So bear with me a second. I'm going to jump off here and try to link in the server. Last update, Tuesday, August 12th, 2008. To end this message and go directly to a trunk, press touchtone.
So right now we're hearing my presentation. Is the audio level adequate here?
With star and pound.
Somebody can jump in. Can you guys hear them?
You will hear MF tones followed by ringing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are now connected.
So I'm gonna bypass the recording by hitting zero and drop this onto the trunk.
After it stops.
So we hear some MF digits, and now we'll hear constant ringing. The ringing will eventually time out, and you can actually seize the trunk at any point. Now what I'm going to do is play 2600. When I stop playing 2600, listen for the wink back. It's fairly subtle, but you should be able to hear it. Could you hear it?
Uh-huh.
Now we're going to hear a recording in a second.
The number you have dialed, £2, is not available.
Now what happened is it heard my voice and interpreted that as some random digits. So now we're still sitting on the trunk, and you can probably hear the buzz in the background if you listen. That buzzing is actually the filtered 2600 hertz coming back from the far side of the trunk. Now what happens is after the wink back is heard, that means that a MF receiver is attached to the far end and is ready to hear MF digits. If you don't dial anything within 5 seconds, the trunk will detect that and time out. The trunks don't let you hold them up too long back in the 70s, the real trunks, and I've emulated that. So I think you'll hear probably a Jane Barbie recording if it were real quiet. So I'll let it time out and just demonstrate that.
I'm sorry, your call did not go through. Will you hang up, please, and try again? This is a recording.
And now we're back on the trunk, but we would have to reseize it again to try to put another receiver on. So the MF receiver gets released just before that recording comes on, with a few seconds of reorder tone after it. So that's pretty much how it actually would work before. If you didn't dial quickly enough, or if your MF digits were mangled, you would get that type of recording or something similar to it. Now what I have is internally on the Asterisk server that's connected here, I have a series of internal recordings that can be accessed using 3-digit codes. So one of the things that has been quite popular, especially with the CNET, the Collectors Network people, are what I've done is taken the Phone Trips recordings from Evan Dorbell's Phone Trips website, digitize them and put them up on various extensions or numbers that can be blue boxed into. And I've got the full-length recordings on there, so it is possible to dial in and actually listen to the whole Evan Dorbell one. So what I'm going to do now is dial KP. I'll hit 2600. We'll get the wink back. I'll dial KP112 start. Key pulse was the tone that was necessary to initiate a dialing sequence that indicated to the switch that digits were going to follow. And start was used to terminate the digit sequence. And that was necessary, of course, because the number of digits you could dial was variable. So 112 is the code for the Evan Dorbell classic tandem stacking tape. So I will dial that.
Following telephone recordings were made by Ben.
Now what I've done is I've put a series of authentic old ringback tones on there to try to make it sound as much like an old phone system as possible. And I think it adds to the realism. I do rotate through different ringback tones. Let's try that again. We'll try a different recording this
time.
Now I can blow this call off by playing 2600, which will hang up and then seize
the
trunk.
Really feel the depth of it. Well, here we go again with another in the scene.
And now we're on a different Evan Doorbell recording.
Long distance program.
I also have a couple of weird phrases from the Asterisk sound library that can be accessed for getting your tone levels correct when you're playing around with this. I'll play back one of those. We'll blow Evan off here and dial into one of the test recordings.
By the time you've heard as much of this...
We apologize. Weasels have eaten our phone system.
Well, for some reason, they've got that in the standard Asterisk sound library. I have no idea why it would be used, but it is there. So I thought it was kind of interesting to put some of the goofier ones on there for fooling around with. I have another recording I have that's quite popular is the Emmanuel Goldstein from 2600 Magazine and Off the Hook Radio Show. I have an interview he did with Joy Bubbles that is just excellent back in the early 90s, and we'll dial that up.
Now, the man is called the name of High Rise Joe.
Fantastic interview with Joy Bubbles, giving a lot of insight into his early days in freaking back in the 50s. I really do credit him with being one of the early, one of the original phone freaks. And he figured a lot of it out just using intellect and experimentation and a lot of time. So a real freaker in the best sense of the word, in my opinion. One other feature I have here also is a conference bridge that's accessible. So multiple Blue Box users, let me get off here. So multiple users can dial in, and I've made the code for that 2111.
I'm sorry, your call did not go through. Will you hang up, please, and try again? This is a recording.
If you remember the old Esquire article, 2111 was a code that would access a conference bridge that was in the Vancouver step tandem at the time, back in the 70s, and it was one of the most popular and well-known meeting places for phone freaks to get together. So it was really a predecessor of this of the conference bridge we're using today. We'll access that just briefly.
You are currently the only person in this conference.
And we're just in a standard Asterisk bridge at this point. We'll blow that off. Now, back in the day, the phone company used internal codes for operators to contact other operators and other internal telephone company functions. One of the codes that could be used by the operator was 131. 131 was the internal code for directory assistance. So you could dial, for example, KP216.
The number you have dialed, 161211111, is not available.
Okay, so you could dial KP, an area code, and then 131 to access the directory assistance operator for a given area code. So I have that code mapped to GOOG 411, so if you were to dial KP131 start, you would go to directory assistance, in this case, GOOG 411. Now, you can also precede that code with any area code. It goes the same place, but I have the system programmed to accept an area code to make it a bit more realistic. So in this case, I'll use area code 216 and then 131 and then start to access the directory assistance function.
Calls recorded. Google, say the business and the city.
So again, trying to be as faithful as possible in spirit to some of the original codes.
The number you have dialed is not in service. Please check the number and try again.
Again, the system responding to my voice. Another internal code that the phone company would use is 121. That was for the inward operator associated with an area. So if a person was having trouble making a phone call into Chicago, the operator who was assisting the customer would dial KP312121 start, 312 being the area code for Chicago at the time, and 121 being the inward operator.
I have that mapped to ring a local phone here in my switch room in the basement where I'm sitting right now. It also rings my cell phone, so if somebody wants to talk to me, being the inward operator, they can use that. So we'll demonstrate that briefly. And you can hear it ringing my my phone's
down. Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
And we'll blow that off. I do have a couple of other external numbers that are connected in addition to the two that I demonstrated there. I do have
the number you have dialed, 2 pound, is not available.
I do have a direct SIP connection into Telefreak that can be dialed using a blue box. That's with KP777START, and that's not a telephone code. It's just a code that I happen to pick, so we'll give that a try.
Abandon all hope.
And now we're direct connected into Telefreak.
Thank you for calling
with
Telefreak.
With all the
please
standard
enter a voicemail box number
options
now.
Available.
Press pound for advanced options.
I'm sorry, your call did not go through. Will you hang up, please, and try again? This is a recording.
Now, the final, probably coolest feature of the system is that I do allow people to make phone calls into the PSTN, just like the old blue box system of old. So if you seize a trunk, you can dial KP plus 10 digits plus START, and that can be any phone number in the U.S. or Canada, and it'll actually go through. It is time limited, and I don't guarantee it'll be completely private. It is subject to monitoring just to discourage abuse. But I do allow people to make calls, and the calls will complete, and you can carry on a two-way conversation and fool around with it and blow it off with 2600 and impress your friends and everything. So I do allow it, and in 3 years I've had really almost zero problems with abuse, and the cost has been so minimal I really haven't had to ask people to kick in any money for it. So as long as it stays that way, I've got no problem keeping that accessible. So what I'm going to do is actually dial a number out on the PSTN. In this case, I'll call the U.S. Naval Observatory Master Clock in Fort Collins, Colorado. So again, it's KP, 10 digits without a leading one, just 10 digits like the old days, and then start. And this is what a phone freak would actually do after he sees the line. So you can call into the system, make a call, blow it off with 2600, redirect it to another number without actually hanging up and starting over again, which is exactly the way it worked back in the 70s. We'll try that number.
U.S. Naval Observatory Master Clock. At the tone, Mountain, daylight time, 16 hours, 58 minutes, 55 seconds. Universal time, 22 hours.
And we'll blow that off with 2600.
Exactly.
And we got the wink back. We'll let that time out, and then I'll move on to the next part of the presentation.
The number you have dialed, 741, is not available.
Now, one kind of cool thing that was real popular for phone freaks to do back in the 70s was to do something called tandem stacking. And the way certain switches worked back in the 70s is it was possible to use routing codes to dial into one switch and to route the call to a second switch and then loop that back and forth between the two switches multiple times. And it was possible, up to the limits of the audio quality of the line, to actually busy out a trunk route between two cities. And for that reason, the Bell System security people really, really, really did not like people doing it. Now, because of various restrictions on the technique, it really wasn't possible to do any serious damage to the network because of the rerouting capabilities of the early network. But it really had the FBI running scared when they found people were doing this, and it was probably the thing that really brought the heavy hand of the law down on phone freaks as much as anything else. Now, tandem stacking is sort of possible in the system, but I have to use if you've heard the classic tandem stacking phone trips recording, you know how it was done for real. What I can do here is What I can do is dial into a number on my box that will return a dial tone that accesses the switching train on the asterisk box. Now, the reason I have to do that is to try to stack using asterisk isn't really possible, because asterisk will not just seize a line and dial nothing on it. And that's really what you require to do stacking. So what I've done instead is I've set up a system that routes through the SF trunks, gives you a dial tone, and you can dial the same access number over and over again. And every time you dial it, it loops through another member of those 24 trunks that I've got set up here. So you can stack up to 24 trunks by repeatedly dialing 2602, which is the code number for stacking. So the first time you dial 2602, I use the blue box, but thereafter I use touch tones to do it. And every time I hit 2602, I get another dial tone, and I'm actually stacking through the 2600 control trunks. And it allows you to do some interesting things on the terminating side. So I'll demonstrate on what it sounds like on the originating side. And then I'll try to do it dialing into this bridge on the terminating side, which is where you can hear some of the cool stuff. So let me try it on the terminating side. So I'm going to dial KP2602 start, and that'll give me a dial tone. And thereafter, I'm going to use the touch tone pad on the phone here to stack a number of trunks repeatedly. So let's give it a try. Oops. We've gotten one link. This will be the second stack. It's actually MFing 2602 into the trunks to pick up the next one. We'll do it again. We're on our third stack. And I'll do it once more. And after this one, I'm going to actually dial a recording through the stack of about five or six trunks that I've got stacked up here. So there's nothing really very extraordinary about it. I mean, it sounds exactly the same to us as though I were dialing in directly, but it's actually looping through a stack of five or six trunks. So the only thing you'd really hear is some degradation in audio quality, and I can't do anything too interesting with it on the originating side. Let me blow this up. So we've disconnected it. Now, what I would like to do is...
The number you have dialed is not in service. Please check the number and try again.
Put the phone down here for a second, and using a second line here on my desk, I'm going to build a stack up similar to what I just did, except the last number that I dial is going to be the conference bridge. And I'm going to, so I don't get a feedback loop on it, I'm going to have to unplug my handset here, but I'm going to leave you for about a minute or two, so if the moderator wants to say anything, feel free. And the next time you hear my voice, I'll be coming in over the stack, but on the terminating side. And then I'll be able to show you some kind of interesting tricks that can be done with it. So if you forgive me, I'm going to be gone here for about a minute. So if the moderator wants to fill the empty space with something, that would be great.
All right, cool. Time to stall. So,
we're very good at stalling. So,
yeah, we're horrible at stalling. So how's the weather up there?
Sing for us. Amuse us.
What's up, Ian? Do-do-do-do. We need some, like, hold music to play right now.
I know, right? Yeah, this is going to be, like, the part of the recording that we edit out.
Yeah.
No, you can't edit out anything. That would take away the experience.
True.
Fine, I think about putting on, like, a laser or something. And, like, if you have more than 4 seconds of silence, it'll be like, all right, you're done recording.
Now think about it. It's just like a regular conference, those huge long periods of silence that everybody just so enjoys.
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
Pregnant pauses.
I mean, he doesn't even have to be, you know, silent. We're just doing that to help the authenticity.
Exactly. It's not a true authentic conference unless there's those long, awkward pauses.
Oh, yeah.
Awkward pause.
New caller.
Hello. Yeah, this is me. This is Don. I'm calling back. I'm calling into the stack now. So I've got probably 5 or 6 trunks stacked up or looped internally within the switch, just the set of trunks that I've got. And now what you're hearing is the terminating side of that stack. Before, we were hearing what it sounded like on the originating side. Now, one thing Evan Dorbell did in his classic tandem stacking tape is he was able to flash the switch hook, and the supervision, because it used relays, would be delayed with each loop through the system. You can actually hear the relays and the cheeps as the tones propagated through the system, or the DC act.
Oh, we lost him. Oh, dear.
Now it's really a real conference.
I know, right?
Oh, God.
Wonder how long it'll take him to notice.
My goodness.
Hopefully it'll be soon.
I guess that's our first disaster for the whole conference.
Besides the little minor three-waying difficulties, yeah.
I've been thoroughly enjoying this. This is about as enjoyable as Fiber Optics' speech at Hope.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, honestly,
great.
I thought our first real problem was going to be like a milliwatt or an echo or something. So, you know, the fact
well,
we haven't
really
had that.
Any ideas. Don't give them ideas.
Yeah. So, yeah, like the fact we haven't had that yet, I guess that's a good sign.
It is a very good sign. Just hope Don realizes that he's disconnected and can reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we don't have any way of like instant messaging him or anything.
Oh, there we go. Don, is that you?
I guess not.
No, this is HyperCard. I'm just merging in the calls again.
Okay, cool.
I'm amazed at how quiet everyone's been.
Well, that's because like two of the conferences are muted.
Huh.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Can't we email him or something?
What? Actually, I muted those when he dropped off, because I figured, well, I might as well let people talk if they're on him.
You guys hear me?
Okay, we're back.
Huh? Hello?
Cool. We're back. Sorry about that.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Seems like it.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is hang up, listen for the cheeps, and that'll be the stack tearing down. And I'm back on
my... I'm sorry, your call did not go through. Will you hang up, please, and try again? This is a recording.
Were the cheeps audible when I disconnected?
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool. So anyway, so that's stacking. Cute trick, but many people have tried it and played with it. The last thing in my talk that I'd like to demo is doing something Evan Dorbell did again in his phone trips tapes, and that is he was able to set up a series of interconnecting switches by dialing various trunk access codes and using a technique called guard banding. When you try to link a lot of switches together using MF, the problem is he runs into the same problem I did on the stacking. Every time you hit 2600, it drops you back to the first 2600 link in the chain that you're trying to put together. So he's got to use some special techniques to do it. So what I'm going to do here is dial into the CNET, the collector's network system, and I'm going to actually build up a stack of calls linking through various electromechanical switches that are in people's basements all over the country. I'm going to send it overseas to England and go through a switch over there, and then back to the States, and finally I'll terminate the call on one of my recordings on the switch. The first switch I go to, I'm going to set up again with the blue box, but thereafter, because other switches besides mine do not respond to 2600 and MF, I'm going to use special numbers they have set up that return a dial tone. So to build the stack, primarily I'll be using touch tone here, and I'll try to explain what I'm doing as I actually build it. So my goal is that you get 8 switches on here, and
We'll see what it sounds like when I think you'll be able to hear the degraded audio after bouncing it around the United States and overseas. So let me initiate the stack by dialing into a switch up in Minnesota. We'll do that right now. Now try this again. It failed. Now we're going to go into a real electromechanical switch. Now we're going to dial 9 to get an outside line on the switch. Now we're going to go into another switch in Alabama. Now we're going to go back into another electromechanical switch. There's a dial tone. We'll dial 9 for an outside line. Now we're going to dial into my Project MF box. You can hear the audio degrading. Now we're going to loop it through my box a few times. And then we'll send it overseas to England to a switch set up in a guy's basement over there.
Please enter the number you wish to call.
Now we'll go back to the States to an electromechanical switch. Nine for an outside line. And we'll finally dial a recording on my own asterisk box here, and we'll see how that sounds. So at this point, we're looping around the world quite a distance, linking together real electromechanical switches in people's basements, pretty much like Evan did on some of the routing tapes that he did. And you can probably hear the audio. Very, very low level in the background because of the because of all the attenuation. And now when I blow 2600, what will happen is, because the only link here is 2600 controlled, is the original one, when I use the blue box, it'll drop us back to my, it'll disconnect all of these switches. So all around the country, all of the steppers are resetting and making a lot of noise, and all these links are getting torn down one by one when I hit the 2600, and we'll drop back to my switch again on the first link. And now we're back here. We could dial another call at this point if we wished.
The number you have dialed, 711#, is not available.
So that's about it. It just shows, kind of showcases the system that I've got set up. Again, this is publicly accessible, and any of you guys are perfectly welcome to try it at any time. I think that the moderator is going to publish the routings and the numbers I actually used in this demonstration. So. Feel free to email me from the website, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this point or by email. Thank you for the attention, and I really enjoyed giving the presentation.
Yeah, we'll have a copy of the entire outline of his speech on the site. So, if you guys want to try and emulate these results, perfectly possible. We'll have all the numbers, all the extensions, everything like that. And then we'll point to his website so you can download the Blue Box software if you need it, things like that.
Hey, so DF99, before you hop off, are you going to be staying for a bit?
Yeah, I plan on listening in, at least in the background on the speaker.
All right, great, because I might need your help for one of the presentations.
No problem. Yeah, I can.
All righty.
Yeah, I can three-party in or whatever you need. That'd be no problem.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you. All right, our next speaker is Royal Museum, Dallin Fadon.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.